This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Judas 8:2. And I said, what? He said, remember, Judas 8:2. And I said,
so what does that mean?
Well, and he's like, you understand what I'm saying? And I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. I had no idea what he was talking about. It hit me months later.
You chewed on that for a while.
Yeah, just out of the blue. Wasn't thinking about it, anything like that. And it hit me. And I'm like, Judas 8:2. So all the time leading up to Jesus' death, he knew what Judas was going to do. You know, he knew he was going to betray him. He didn't tell the other disciples about what Judas was going to do. He didn't cause discord. He knew. I mean, he prayed with Judas. He washed his feet. He broke bread with him. All the while knowing that.
Well, he had to do everything right because he couldn't have. He had to show all the love he could because it was up to Judas for his free will.
Yeah. Well, it's just, to me, I look at that like forgiveness. Like, man, he knew, and he forgived him instantly. Just forgiveness. He didn't treat him.
Are you talking about Peter or Judas?
Judas. Like,
so you think God did forgive Judas in the end?
I believe so. I mean.
I'll tell you this about Peter. You want to hear a great story about Peter? Now, I'm not going to tell this like a theologian. I need to study this to be more responsible. But there are pastors listening now. If you want to contact me, tell me how it really works. But I got this from a pastor recently. I forget which. I go to various houses of worship, so I don't know who I heard this from. But so Peter denies Christ 3 times. So, you know, then Jesus comes out of the dead. He's resurrected. And then, you know, they talk about him, and they've seen him, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so they come upon Jesus down by the water. Do you remember that scene?
Yes.
Okay. Jesus has a fire growing. A fire going.
Yep.
Okay, he's got a fire. Okay.
Yep.
So he says to Peter, what? Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Peter, do you love me? How many times did Peter deny Christ?
3 times.
Before the cock crowed, right?
Yeah.
He did that. So he set up the whole scene again with the fire burning, which was burning when Jesus was down there being beaten by those guys, and right in the fire. In other words, he reenacted the whole scene to show Peter how profound, how deep, how authentic was his absolute forgiveness of Peter. Now, if you really think about that story, you could really, if you thought about it by yourself, you could really be reduced to tears. And if he forgave Peter, who was with him at the transfiguration, you know, and I mean, just
only even what he said when he was up on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
And you know, you were saying you got your Irish temper up recently. I get this whole new thing where, you know, Paul said, esteem others greater than self. Now, let's say you did something right now that irritated me, but I have to, and I'm learning this, I have to learn it over and over because I might go backwards and I go forward. I go backward, forward a little more. And that is that I'm here to serve you. Not to serve Rhett. If I get offended by you and want to get me, then I'm serving me. Oh, I'm important. I got something to lose. No, I realize that's okay. I got Jesus. So, you know, I'm not going to get offended. You're first. You know, it's just like recently this down in New York City, this guy showed dignity to a man. He walked into the little store. He pulled up on his bike. The guy opens the door and the bike guy walks in. And so, you know, this guy treated him nice, and he says to the bike guy, he says, hey, you know, I just opened the door. You should say thank you. Hey, you should say thank you. He followed him around the whole store. You should be thanking me. What's the matter with you? You don't thank me. See, he didn't make it about him to serve him. He made it about himself. He wanted something in return. You don't give to get something in return.
Yeah.
So the bike guy goes out of the store, gets back on his bike, and the guy comes out following, putting his face in his face. The guy takes out a knife, stabs him in the heart, and kills the guy that opened up the door. Now, when you give dignity, don't expect something back.
No.
You know, it's like when you let somebody out in traffic. Many people will give you a wave or a toot. Toot, toot, they thank you, and they pray. Oh, it feels so good, doesn't it? And then maybe you see them let somebody out up ahead. They may let them out, and you spread some good. But if they don't thank you, that's not what you did. You gave to give.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that took me a while to, like I said, I'd served.
Well, you're only 44.
Yeah, yeah. I served on, but I did a lot of serving of self for many years of my life, you know. I knew. I didn't do anything for anybody unless there was something in it for me, you know, whether I was working some kind of angle, trying to get something from you.
Okay, what I want to know is, I marvel that you went from the darkness to the light. I marvel that I went from the darkness to the light. You know, I didn't know what Jesus was all about. I thought it was a bunch of hooey. I was into Eastern religions. I'm in my living room in Troy, New York, living in the ghetto, struggling young songwriter. I'm 29 years of age. Okay, my friend Bobby Vendetta got born again. I watched him for a year. I saw the change in him, and I'm watching Pat Robertson secretly at 3 o'clock in the morning, hearing about this Jesus guy, and then he mentions the Holy Spirit. So finally, I said, okay, I believe you died on the cross and rose from the dead, and, you know, and nothing happened. And then I don't know what must have been my day, because I just kept yelling at the ceiling, saying, okay, blah, 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 blah. I'm a fool to live without God. You're God. I'm living my whole life without God. I said, okay, I believe you died on the cross for my sins, rose from the dead, and I surrender the rest of my life to you. Boom.
Surrender. That's where
the Holy Spirit came into me, and I often thought God might be offended by this, but I said, this is why people do drugs. The drugs are the counter. They're the counterfeit. The Holy Spirit is the real McCoy.
Being of service to God, you know, and I know it. I've accepted that it's him because he puts me in so many situations to be of service to other people. And the old me would be like, you know, I don't care about what I can give to the community. I don't care about what I could do for this person. I'm not going to put myself out. And I remember one day I started just doing service work. I didn't feel any kind of anger or being mad that I was doing it. I felt good. I'm like, wow, I don't think I've ever felt this good. You know, I've never felt this good.
You could get paid $50,000 an hour, and it can't compare when you're doing something from the heart. For free.
Yeah. I'm like, wow. So that kept me around more. And I just kept doing more work.
You were befuddled. Here you are, this guy from the street. You're a bad butt, you know? Yeah. You're a bad guy.
The biggest battle was myself, was getting over all of what I thought I knew. So I had to be like open-minded. And I still have to remain open-minded. Now, I know God is real, and I know what he's capable of doing, but he still does things where I'm like...
Tell me something. Oh. What is... I don't know if this is coming from the Lord or whatever, but I think he said to ask you, what's a favorite Bible... something in the Bible that's your favorite? A story or a quote? Something.
Man, there's so many. I think what's popping to mind, I believe it'd be... Was it 1 Corinthians 15:10? But for the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. That one means a lot. Or Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because I've gotten through some things sober I don't know how I would have got through them all messed up.
Like a death or what?
Yeah, my stepfather passing away. Just friends that I met in the program.
That died of alcoholism?
Yeah, friends back home. I mean, people are dying every day up in Boston. It's bad. And it just seemed like every time I get on Facebook, somebody I know has passed away. OD. Yeah. And it's bad, you know? Stuff like that never used to bother me, but it bothers me. Like, I think about, you know, I don't think so. If a friend of mine is, you know, drug addicted and he ODs and he dies, yeah, I feel bad. I'm sorry about that, but I feel bad for the families. You know, like, my thinking used to be, like, I just think about myself. Now it goes out like, I'm thinking about the families of the person that passes, you know. And again, it's really easy to stay stuck in that cycle, and a lot of people do, unfortunately. But I just feel like, man, if somebody could feel even 5% of what God did for me, like, I don't see how anyone could not believe in him.
I'm sure that's why he's sending you out with a burro, what do you call those, donkeys? You got your papers on the back.
I saw something at the beginning when I was hearing that Ocean song. It was like a, I don't want to call it a meme, but something on social media. It said, remember, and I saw it at the point, at the time I needed
What'd
to
you see
it. It said, remember, God pulled you from the pit so you could go back in and help pull more people out. And I always keep that one. That's something I keep in my mind.
I heard this story that this guy's down in a hole on the side of the road, and he can't get out. He's down in a hole. And a preacher walks by and says, okay, well, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. And he keeps walking. And then the psychiatrist walks by. He said, well, I'll go get you some drugs. I'll get you a prescription. At least you can feel better about being down in there. And then another guy comes, and he jumps into the hole. He goes, what are you doing? He says, it's okay. I know the way out of here. Mm-hmm. A former addict. I mean, if you say that in the right place, right time, that can reduce you to tears. And, you know, so you feel that God, definitely, your calling is he pulled you out of the pit. And redeemed you so you can. Sometimes I wonder about that, because I say, like, I wish I'd never sinned after I came to know Jesus. I tried to live like a monk for like 7 years, and I was going to be the best son he ever had next to Jesus. And I tell you what, you know, sometimes I pray, like, why didn't you just kill me after I got born again? You know, I wish you'd killed me. But like you said, we got to stick around, and calls us to wander down the roads and the roads of life, and take that, they call it a burrow, or is it, what's a burrow, like a donkey?
I think it's a burrow,
And put some Bibles on the back of that burrow, and take it by it, put the ring through its nose, and go from town to town and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's exactly what Paul did. I mean, his conversion, I've always been partial to, you know, stuff that Paul, the Apostle Paul wrote. I don't know why I just saw it. And I write a lot. I write a lot of, like, studies and stuff.
Oh, good.
And but, you know, like, his conversion when he was Saul, you know, and he's
just killing Christians.
Yeah, and, you know, God used him. That was something I looked in, you know, read about when I was trying to forgive myself. I'm like, God can't use me.
I've said the
same
thing.
And my friend was like, look at Paul. Mm. And I was like, oh. You know, because it kind of, I mean, I've heard of Paul even growing up, but just at that moment, I remember it hit me like, oh, yeah, dang. Like, I mean, this guy literally was there when Stephen was stoned to death.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is A New Day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Start Smart Learning Center offers a fun, nurturing, faith-based space for your child to grow and succeed. We are now enrolling children ages 1 to 5 years old. Visit our website at startsmartlc.org or call us at 772-281-4121 to give your child the head start they deserve.
Jesus loves.